Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Amp Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Lavasi International. Lavasi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavasi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spikes design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavasi International, lavasi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.uk. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
Here we go!
Are you ready?
Coming at you, welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast, and we're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streak, the Amp Studios in Danville, California. Special trip to Brian in Boston. How about that? We got the kid on, and of course, Marco from Waco. We are sans Prados, Proteus. Unfortunately, his son is a little under the weather, so he's definitely taking care of him at the hospital. Hopefully all is well, sending thoughts and good wishes, obviously, to his boy. But we're coming at you live and unedited, guys. The tough finale, a new world champion. I think it's the 11th or 12th belt that will be held. Let's meet the host, guys. Of course, actually, before we meet the host, let's get into this. We will only go into the main event for the UFC and Bellator matches. Each one of us will also pick a spotlight fight of the night. We got some news to talk about, so we'll get into that. Let's meet the host, guys. Fighting out of the one and only, I think it's fair to say, fighting out of the Shamrock corner, or at least the Celtic corner. Hit it! Brian, are you on?
I am, sir. Thank you for that warm introduction.
How about that? Brian, not to mention, of course, the Amp Radio Symphony uses a version of your intro. It's not as good as yours, though, but let's give you the one and only, the Amp. Let's get you Amp. Get your Amp on. Let's get you the Amp. Hello, champ.
It's a pleasure.
Brian, let's meet the star of the Go ahead, B.
Nope, I was just going to say it's a pleasure to be sharing the airwaves with two of the most brilliant minds in MMA discussing.
Well, here's a brilliant mind for sure, Brian. Let's meet the star of the show, the one and only Marco from Waco.
Marco from Waco, I am glad Brian recognized my greatness.
¿Qué pasa, Marco?
Brian is,
¿Qué pasa, Brian?
Brian is one of the greatest of all as well. By the way, two junkie legends, I'm going to say it right now, and Marco from Waco, and of course, Brian from Boston, kid. Brian, let's get into it, guys. Brian, of course, personal friends with the one and only Kenny Florian, and of course the other one, John Anik.
I am. I just had
crickets on that
the other day with I had lunch the other day with Kenny, John Anik, and Tom Brady was kind enough to join us. It was a good day.
Now, I got a quick question for you, Brian. Are you familiar with Ross from Boston? You know, all-time MMA junkie, Hall of Famer?
I am not, Marco. And it's funny, I just sort of had this discussion with a couple of junkies online the other day that I have yet to meet any junkies in person. But from what I understand, there's a nice card coming to Boston, and I think some junkies will be filtering on up. So I'm looking to make myself available because I'd love to actually meet a few people that I hear on the radio and I see on Facebook. So my long-winded answer to your question is no.
Yeah, most definitely you need to hook up with Ross from Boston. He's an outstanding guy, very knowledgeable. He got all the hookups, man. He is really on the inside. I mean, famously, Daniel Cormier is taking a ticket for one of his fights, you know?
So, oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's a long story, but long story short, Daniel Cormier flew him to one of the events so he could go see the fight for Daniel Cormier. So get in touch with Ross from Boston when you got that outstanding fight there oddly enough, Daniel Cormier is going to be fighting as a main event in Boston. So there you go.
Yeah, I certainly will. Thank you.
UFC 220, guys, and let's not forget, I think Joe from H-Town actually had a lot to do with Russ from Boston meeting Daniel Cormier, but DC actually has done a lot for Junkie Nation. So UFC 220, of course, will be held in Boston. We'll go over that. But let's get into it, kid. Let's get into the before we go into the tough, let's get into the Bellator card. Bellator 189. We'll go to the main event right away, guys. To the women's flyweight we go. Julia Budd will fight Arlene Blankow. And that's actually the second time these two have met. Julia Budd. Why do I keep saying blood? Julia Budd, of course, famously a kickboxer, Canadian. And, of course, I know that Proteus is a big fan of her. She's actually had one hell of a career, guys. She's 10-2, and not to mention, at Invicta, she was undefeated. Lost famously to Ronda Rousey in Strikeforce, and Amanda Nunes actually KO'd by Amanda Nunes in their second fight. Lost to Rousey, just like everyone did during that time, guys, via submission. But since then, she went 4-0 at Invicta, 4-0 at Bellator, takes the belt from legend Marlus Kunin. So, Brian, I'm throwing at you. Marlus Kunin versus Arlene Blankow. What you got?
Well, I went back and I reviewed the first fight, and I sort of see the second fight almost going the same way that the first fight did. I have a weird feeling this is sort of going to be a carbon copy of what we initially watched. If I'm going to be honest, I don't follow the Bellator women's division that closely. But I liked Bud's style. She's big. She looks strong. So, I see it sort of going the same way it did the first fight with her speaking out a decision.
Yeah, you know what, Russ, Brian, sorry, I don't disagree with you. Actually, I think it's going to be very similar. And you're right about Julia Budd being, I mean, she's big. At about 5'8", she reminds me a lot, believe it or not, of the beautiful Holly Holm. Marco, I'm throwing to you because I know that you follow the women's. And this is interesting, guys, because this is a women's featherweight division, right? That, again, Bellator beating the UFC to the punch and doing that first, maybe a little hurried at that. But, Marco, I'm throwing to you, Julia Budd versus Arlene Blankow.
Okay, so first, I second Brian's feeling. I think Julia Budd is a little bit of a better fighter than this other chick. I'm going to give you my prediction real quick, and then I'm going to talk about the featherweight division on Bellator for women. I think Julia Budd is going to outskill this girl again. It's probably going to outpoint her. Julia Budd has not been a Polish finisher in her career, but she knows how to via a general of the ring. You know, she knows her space. She can time you. She's a really good kickboxer. So I'm going to pick her by a unanimous 49-46 decision. Let's keep this other girl one round just for kicks and giggles. Now, oddly enough, you know, you talk about the featherweight division of women's in Bellator. They did beat the UFC to the punch. They signed a lot of females out there that are recognizable names. Marlos Kunin, being one of those names, you know. I mean, Julia Budd and this other girl stole the shine of what was supposed to be their big final for this bell. You know, it wasn't supposed to be these two girls. They were grooming Marlos Kunan, and I seen who was the other girl that was grooming? I don't remember, but it was supposed to be a clash of two titans, and these girls spoiled the party. We're going to get a champion out of this, but like I always say, the Bellator girls don't mean anything. I don't know how committed they are to this division, but on paper, they are more committed to the featherweight women's division than the UFC is. I mean, we got one fight coming up in less than a month now with Home and Cyborg, but that is the only two names you got on their featherweight roster in the USA. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I still pick on Julia Budd for a unanimous 49-46 decision over this other check.
Marco, let me ask you this. You mentioned that Bellator beat UFC to the punch by signing all these women. I wonder if at the end of the day, does it really matter? Do these fights sell pay-per-view at the end of the day? Like, I look at a pay-per-view card, and then I start working my way down, and other than your Holly Holmes of the world, your JJs of the world, they don't get me excited about putting my hard-earned money down to watch these divisions.
When it goes to 145, all these men that they sign, they need kind of fodder for Cyborg. They need something to feed the beast. And after the Holly Holm fight, the only fight you got up there for Cyborg is Megan Anderson. Besides that, there is nobody else out there that, you know, can make a claim that they can beat Cyborg. I mean, Jorina Barnes signed with Bellator for Karen Lau, and Jorina Barnes beat Cyborg in a Muay Thai fight years ago. So that would be an interesting fight if you can tell the storyline. But
yeah, but after Holly Holm beat Cyborg, Cyborg's going to be irrelevant.
That is what we I'm going to do my analysis at the end of the bomb. But as of right now, the way the landscape is, they needed all those names to feed the beast. And Bellator took them all out. So that's
okay.
Kind of saying the Bellator beat them to the punch.
It's interesting that you guys say that, because I actually got, famously, I got into really from being a casual fan to more being a hardcore because of Miesha Tate and the Ronda Rousey. I keep calling her Honda Rousey. That too. But that's the reason why I got into it, guys, because I actually cared more about I guess being a father of a daughter, et cetera. Actually cared more about the storylines from the women than I do the men. So it'll be interesting. We'll talk about that too, but let's go into this quickly. Spotlight fight of the night for you for Bellator 189. I'll give you mine that I have just because, and I don't want to take Marco's. So I'll give you one that actually got scrapped that I had, which was Alexis Dufresne, who did also ruin, of course, the Bellator featherweight party versus Amber Liverock, of course, of Invicta fame. That one scrapped because Alexis Dufresne missed weight yet again. But I'll give you another one that's actually interesting, guys. How about this? Rafael Lovato Jr., one hell of a striker versus Chris Honeycutt. That is the co-main event. And for those that actually care about MMA striking, this is going to be one hell of a fight, guys, at middleweight. Brian?
Tony, I agree with you, and I had that fight as my second pick, just because if you look at both cards that, you know, coming up this weekend, there are a lot of lighter weight fighters. There's nobody bigger than a middleweight. There's no light heavyweights. There's no heavyweights themselves. So I had focused in on that fight as a spotlight fight, and then as I rolled on down the card, I sort of settled in on Sam Cecilia for almost the same reason you did, because I expect it to be a striking fest. And if I'm being quite honest, name recognition as well jumped out to me on that fight. So I used that one as my second spotlight fight.
Darn, that's a damn good pick. Marco, I throw to you.
Okay, I'm interested on the Isaki Kato versus Chidi Njikuani. I truly believe that Njikuani has been overrated for a long time. You know, at one point he was always heralded for his unorthodox style, but he never lived to his potential. And I think Isaki Kato, who demonstrated he's a power puncher, you know, is going to eat Anjikuani's cookies. And look, I'm keeping my eye on Kato. He might be a player on Bellator, and Anjikuani just a stepping stone. But keep a look at that fight, because who knows, maybe Anjikuani go back into his unorthodox magic and pull something out of the hat. But that is the fight that I'm paying attention to right now.
And shout out to Pam from North Carolina, because I know David Rickles is one of her favorite fighters, and he will be fighting one of Bay Area's own, Adam Piccolotti from Half Moon Bay. So shout out to that. Let's move up to the UFC card, guys. The Top 26 finale, and boy, has this been one hell of a day, guys. Two fights are scrapped. One, of course, being Lauren Murphy versus Barb Honchak. Lauren Murphy, of course, did weigh in today, so she's ready to go just in case. And the other one, guys, the Sarge, Tajara Eubanks, is out due to a bad weight cut, and in Marco's favorite, Roxanne Modafferi. So Nico Montaña will fight Roxanne Modafferi for the inaugural women's flyweight belt. Marco, I throw to you, will it be Roxy or will it be Nico?
Okay, so again, I'm going to give you my prediction and then a little commentary on this. I am so sad that Roxanne Modafferi is getting the respect of getting this title shot. You know, she was the number one seed on the whole tournament. She was beat by Eubanks in the semis, but be that way it may, you know, Roxanne has evolved so much ever since she moved to a string couture. Her strike has grown leaps and bounds. She's not the most athletic girl. She's never been the most athletic girl. She doesn't got like a power or a strength. She, out of greediness and sheer technique and just being like stubborn and never say die, this girl has become the martial artist she is. She's quirky. She's a little bit of a goofball. But I like Roxanne Modafferi. She's a good person, man. And I like seeing good things happen to good people. I'm going to pick Roxanne out of sheer just liking her a lot. The happy warrior, you know, she fought for Invicta title. Didn't go her way at the time. But, you know, she's 6-2 since she was last in the UFC. And I'm picking her just because I want good things happen to good people. All that said, after Roxanne Modafferi becomes the inaugural flyweight champion in the UFC, it won't mean shit. Because all these girls on the show are just holding place for the real sharks that are going to come into this weight class. The ones like Shevchenko, the ones like Kowalkiewicz, Joan Jacek, all these, Jessica Andrade, she wants to. All these girls that are just licking their chops to come in and break havoc on this weight class. Because let's be honest, Carla Esparza, original strawweight champion, is a footnote on history. She got destroyed by Jen Jacek. And only enough, the girl that lost in the final, Rosna Majunas, is the new champion. Whole life changes, huh? I'm going to pick Roxanne Modafferi to win this by probably decision. She's going to outskill this girl, hopefully. But, she's going to be a placeholder. It's going to be a nice note on his career that she was a UFC champion, and then some monster from another division is going to either come down or come up and bring us to reality, bring us all back to reality.
Brian, let's hold on to that thought on the flyweight, because after I get your prediction, I want to chime in like Marco did with the flyweight division, because he's right in my opinion. But Brian, let's go to you on this one. Nico Montaño versus now Roxy Modafferi. What say you?
You know what, Marco? I think you are dead on your analysis of this division going forward. You know, there was not a lot of talk or not a lot of chatter about this fight or even about this card until today. So now, all of a sudden, with this girl not making weight, it brings attention to this fight and to this fight card. It also brings attention to just what these fighters put their bodies through. And although this is bad for Eubanks,
it's not bad for the card itself, because now people are thinking about it more and talking about it more. And Eubanks now becomes the young lady who, you know, almost got killed trying to make weight. So I see it as bringing attention to the card itself and to the division. Now, as far as the fight goes, if you go on UFC.com and you start to research these fighters, and then you click on Nico, they have no stats on her. There are no stats underneath her 4-2 record. Where Roxanne is 21-14. Now, tell me if I'm crazy here, but I'm going to go out on a limb just a little bit. Give me a little bit of rope to explain myself. I sort of look at Roxanne as having one of those Michael Bisping-esque type careers before he won the title. You know, she has a record of 21-14. She's always been right towards the top. She's always been a mainstay in women's MMA. A couple times in my life, well, more than a couple times, I've been wrong. There are three examples in my head that pop out where I have been absolutely wrong about everything. The very first time that I was watching television with my wife and I saw an ad for a camera phone where the camera was inside the phone, I turned to my wife and I said, that is the stupidest thing I ever saw. Well, you know, guess what? I was completely off base on that one. The second one went about 17 years ago. Yeah, seriously. And about 17 years ago, when the New England Patriots decided to replace some guy named Bledsoe with this other guy named Tom Brady, I thought that was the dumbest thing either. I'm like, what are you taking out Drew Bledsoe for?
Yeah, no shit.
And then the yeah, I thought that was the dumbest thing. So there's two now. I actually called up MMA Junkie Radio before the Bisping Rockhold fight, and I said to the boys, I said, I do not see a path to victory for Michael Bisping versus Luke Rockhold at all. I absolutely said it, and I thought it through. I looked at, okay, he can't out-wrestle him. He's too big. He's too strong. Well, that's the beauty of this sport. So that brings me to, I'm going to pick Roxanne just because I would love to see a vet who's been doing it forever and who's not the most athletically gifted human, but is tough, 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 and keeps at it and keeps at it. And I'd love her to grab this title, sort of have that Michael Bisping moment. But Marco, I won't even repeat what you said earlier because you were just dead on with what's going to happen to either one of these champions once the top of the food chain elite women start to get into this division. And with that, I close my dissertation.
Love it.
Interesting that you say that, because I actually look at it this way, Brian, and I'm a big fan of
before. Brian, round and medal,
yes,
victory for Roxanne.
Oh, good call.
I'm sorry. Please repeat that.
Round and medal victory.
Oh boy, tough one. You know what? I'm just gonna take the easy way out, and I'm gonna say decision. Just because the sport's so unpredictable.
Guys, I it's interesting that you went there, Brian, and I'm curious to Marco. Did you pick? Did you choose Roxanne or did you choose Nico?
I went to a whole diatribe of homos. I admire Roxanne Barberi, and you're gonna tell me I'm gonna pick Nico? What's wrong with you, man? I say Roxanne 49-46 position.
All right, so, wow, okay, so it's interesting. Both of you going with Roxy via decision, correct? It's interesting that you say this because there are a few times that I have been right. and in MMA, yep, actually, I'm right a lot, believe it or not, when it comes to predictions of fights. But here's one thing. I'm a big fan of Roxanne Modafferi. My wife and I became huge fans of her because she just seems like a really genuinely good person. Like Marco said, she just seems like a good person, and she seems like a person that you would hang out with, right? And she has all the fun and with her costumes, etc. But here's the thing, guys, it's kind of like me as a kickboxer. You can have all the heart you want, but I still lack some speed when it comes to kickboxing. I had some power, but I didn't have speed, and I just you know, wasn't the most flexible of the bunch. Maybe not the most athletic, to be frank, even though I have a lot of coordination. I see Roxanne the same way, guys. She does have a lot of keys to victory, and she maybe isn't the most athletic, but I'll tell you one thing. Nico reminds me of one person that you're going to – that you guys actually may follow me with this on, and that's the Venezuelan vixen, Juliana Pena. There are times in tough guys where a fighter just peaks, and I think Nico Montano has peaked, guys. So I'm choosing Nico Montano via second round. How about kick to the head? How about that?
Interesting, my man. Interesting. See, here's what I liked about that analysis is you thought it through and you have a method to victory, and I'm on board. You know, if that's how you look at it, it's hard to argue with, because you're right. In this sport, there's no substitute for speed, man. Speed just kills. You know, I go back to the days of Sugar Ray Leonard, and just so fast. So you're right. Speed's a big deal. And athleticism as well.
Yeah.
I still
and youth, right? Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm with you guys. I want Roxanne Modafferi to win. I love Roxanne Modafferi, but I just don't see it, guys. So let's go to Spotlight 5 of the Night, and then let's go into news, because there's a lot of news. I'll give you my Spotlight 5 of the Night, and only because I've guessed Marco and I may be the only ones, Brian, that actually have watched Tough 26. I actually watched all 26 seasons. How about that? Of Tough. But Christina Marks, who I thought was my underdog, Christina Marks fighting Montana Stewart, Flash, now De La Rosa. I think that's one hell of a fight, guys. And I think they both, well, you know what? Brian's right. Marco was right. They may not have a future in this division, because we'll talk about the future of the division right after we get into your Spotlight fight. But I'm choosing Montana Stewart / De La Rosa over Christina Marks. Brian, I go to you.
Well, as I was researching the card, my Spotlight fight is going to be O'Malley versus Ware, and I'll tell you why. Their takedown average reminds me of Blutowski's GPA. 0.0. These two gentlemen are going to stand in front of each other and bang. And at the end of the day, love two guys who are going to stand and bang. Hence, Spotlight fight of the night for me.
I gave you a delayed rim shot because that was a good line. 0.0. Shout out to, of course, right? Shout out to, of course, the Howard Stern Show on that one. How about that? Marco, I throw to you. What is your Spotlight fight of the night? Sorry, Brian still has me laughing from that 0.0.
That's my fault.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Joe Soto Brett Jones fight. Joe Soto famously took a championship fight on extremely short notice against TJ Dillashaw. I want to see where Joe Soto is. I mean, this is a very manageable fight for him. The guy, he's talented, you know. He knows, he was able to hang out with the champion at the time on very short notice. I'm looking forward for this fight, and I want to do an honorable mention to the heavyweights, Andrew Sanchez and what is his freaking name? Ryan James, because it's going to be two heavyweights trying to slobber knock each other, knock each other's heads out. So those are my two quote-unquote Spotlight fight of the nights.
Darn, those are good ones. And by the way, before we get into the flyweight discussion, because I do want to get into it, I just want to give certain shout-outs, guys, because you know me. I'm strictly about, you know, meritocracy and what should be right. But shout-out to, of course, Rachel Ostovich Verdun fighting in this fight. Shout out to Rachel Ostovich at Rachel Ostovich. Shout out, of course, to Amanda Bobby Cooper at ABC Nation 115. You want to look up those photos, kids. And of course, shout out to the karate hottie, Michelle Watterson. How about that, guys?
Get up, Irv.
Yeah, you got problems.
All right, boy, that went well. Where's Prados when I need him? Prados, I need you on this one.
Don't put a Mac Lauer, you know, freaking, everybody's getting in trouble with all these shout-outs to females, man. You better be careful, brother. Mac Lauer,
gosh, you're...
Congressman, Al Franken. Yeah, you better be careful, man. You gotta be a step, you know, with a step carefully on these grounds, brother.
You're not kidding. Good Lord. I take that back, by the way. All right, guys, let's get into this. Let's talk about the future of the flyweight. So I'll get into this quickly, and then I want to get into – I was inspired by the MMA beat today, so I'm going to ask you a couple things here. Let's talk about this first, guys. And we've spoken about this before on the show, Marco, so just bear with me. And Marco actually gave a couple good ones and one that I didn't even think about, Carolina Kowalkiewicz. But let's say – 6 months from now, Brian, we're talking, let's just say, June 2018. Who is the champ, assuming the title gets defended, because we all know that rarely happens in the UFC nowadays, but assuming the title gets defended, Brian, who do you see as the next flyweight women's champion in the UFC 6 months from now?
Boy, great question. I would go with JJ, but I think JJ would really like to rematch Rose. You know what? Tough one. I guess I'll go with JJ.
Wow. All right. And I agree with you. I think she's going to want the rematch and take her belt back before she does anything. Marco, I'm going to throw to you. Yeah. 6 months from now, assuming this title gets defended, who do you see as the reigning champion in 2018?
It's not going to be Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I think she's a little bit of a too much of a hot commodity to just go up and fight the future champion, Roxanne Mataferi. She is going to rematch Rose Namajunas, but I truly believe it's either going to be Valentina Shevchenko, because she doesn't have a path to the championship as long as Amanda Nunes is the champion at 135, or Kowalkiewicz. Either way, you set up a mega fight with Joanna Jędrzejczyk in the future, because if Shevchenko goes out and become the champion, they got a history together on kickboxing and Muay Thai. And a super fight with Jędrzejczyk and Shevchenko will be awesome, you know, especially at 125, they can meet in the middle. So it won't be a casual or anything, and it will mean something. And if Kowalkiewicz goes up, you can set up also a fight with Shevchenko too. But I truly believe it's probably going to be Valentina Shevchenko, just because her path to a championship at 135 is kind of close right now. And it makes sense for her to go down and then start calling Kowalkiewicz and Jędrzejczyk to 125 to get a big money fight.
I totally agree with Marco on that one, Brian. Totally agree with him. Listen, I want to get this in because, again, I was inspired by the MMA beat today. But one thing that Go ahead. Go ahead, Marco.
One more thing. I want to throw this one real quick, and you're going to like this one. Misha Tate always said that she would always love to have a 125 division to go to, because she doesn't consider herself an outer 135er. She could have dropped to 125. Maybe this new weight class is the one thing that lures Misha Tate out of retirement, and that would be freaking awesome.
Oh my gosh, you're not joking. Boy, would I like to see that. But we don't talk about that stuff on this show, Marco. We can't do it any longer.
Fights.
Good Lord. Yeah, me too. Good Lord, right?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Brian, one thing that I wanted to talk to you about is, and we brought this up on Smack My Picks Up, so we're not going to go predictions on UFC 218, but one thing that did inspire me on the MMA beat today is, guys, give me two fights that you're excited about in UFC 218, and I'll go first, guys, because I want you guys to have the floor. But the two most exciting fights for me when I started seeing this, because I'll be honest with you, wasn't really too excited about Holloway versus Frankie or Holloway versus Aldo. I've already seen that. But the two fights that got me, Eddie Alvarez versus Justin Gaethje, and honestly, guys, I actually really like this fight, believe it or not, is Michelle Waterson versus Tisha Torres. Those are the two fights that I was most excited about. Brian, I'm going to throw to you. Give me two fights on this card, or three. I'll give you the latitude of you going with three fights that you're excited about in this UFC 218 card.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I'm really looking forward to the Alistair Overeem versus the Francis Ngannou fight. And
darn, that's a good
one. I'd gone on the air a couple times with the guys, and I really had this massive distaste for Alistair Overeem. I felt when he first came to the UFC, he just had this arrogance about him, and I couldn't stand him. And I took such joy in watching guys knock him out. But then he went down to Greg Jackson's camp, and I've subtly noticed a change in his attitude. He's not as cocky, and he's not as arrogant, and he's a little bit slower with his skill set. So I'm starting to warm up a little bit to Alistair. So I'm looking forward to that fight. Normally I would just be doing cartwheels, couldn't wait for the guy to get knocked out. But now I'd almost like to see him win. So in my opinion, the guy's attitude has done a complete 180. The second fight, you know, I have a hard time not enjoying the legends, and I have a hard time not wanting to see that legend just do his thing one more time. So I am interested in the Max Holloway, Jose Aldo fight. And I think Jose's past, people forget about it. If you go back and watch some of his old fights, that kid was a machine. I mean, his leg kicks were fierce and his punching. And, you know, we talked about him pound to pound, you know, pound for pound. And people seem to have forgot him. So I would love to see Jose pull back those glory days. As I say that, Max Holloway seems to be one classy kid. I like his fighting style. I like his attitude. I love the way he's grown up in front of our eyes. So at the end of the day, either guy wins, I'm going to be happy for them. And I just want it to be a really good fight. Third, how do you not like Alvarez versus Gaethje? That's going to be ridiculous. They better have
killer.
They better have some. Yeah, man. They better have some oxygen next to the octagon, because one of those guys is going to go to sleep, and they're going to go to sleep violently. So, you know, I think they should have a couple of mattresses real close too, because it's going to be ugly. But at the end of the day, it's a nice card, man. It's a nice solid card with real interesting. In what I believe to be competitive fights. I think Aldo's going to be competitive. I really do.
Wow. All right. Well, I don't know if I necessarily back you or co-sign, as Gigi would say on that one. Marco, let's go to you. Two fights. And I know we went over this, you smacked my picks up, but we didn't go over two fights that you're the most excited about. What are the two fights you're most excited about in this card?
First of all, this guy is an embarrassment of riches, man. So you cannot go wrong with whatever you pick. That said, this got nothing to do with my picks yesterday. That I make that very clear. Fans that I really want to see this weekend, how can you not go with Gaethje Alvarez, man? I told you yesterday, this is the people's main event. And like Brian said, they're going to need to have EMTs and blood donors and oxygen. I'm paranoid that somebody's going to sleep violently tomorrow. And I already told you that I think Gage is going to get it, but he's going to win this, but that's a completely different subject. The other fight that I'm looking forward to, just to be a little bit different, and just because, you know, like I told you, the whole car is environment of riches, is the Paul Felder-Charles Oliveira fight. Because Paul Felder, I like the fact that he's getting into the commentating booth. The kid is very polished, very smart. But he's also a hell of a fighter, and I actually want him to become the next step fighter, a contender on the lightweight division. And keeping an eye on that, Charles Oliveira is a very game fighter, you know. We saw him fight against Cerrone. He's on and off, but he's a very good fighter on his own merit. I'm looking forward for that. There is a reason they put this fight as the main event of the prelim card on FS1, because they're expecting this fight to deliver. They always are married to the money to position this feature fights on FS1, on the prelims. And that's what I keep my eye on, Paul Felder and Charles Oliveira, and see some fireworks going on, especially, you know, striking, because These are two guys that don't really care too much about taking it to the ground. They want to strike and, you know, like Pan will say, throw chingazos at each other. So keep an eye on that fight.
Chingazos, no?
All right, guys. Boy, shout out to Proteus on that one. All right, guys, let's go into this, because one thing that, you know, we spoke briefly about the Conor McGregor situation and kind of what he's been up to recently. But you know what we didn't talk about, guys? Dana White actually on the media scrum made a comment on his media scrum and how Conor McGregor may never fight again. My two cents on that was, If he's saying that, then why does he still have the belt? But I wanted to open this up on what you guys thought. So, Marco, I'm going to you. Dana White saying that Conor McGregor may never have a reason to fight again because he has $100 million in the bank. What say you about him fighting again, and should he still keep the belt?
Dana White is never promoted again because he has $400 million on his bank. No, dude, this is all negotiating tactics. I take a lot of what Dana said with a grain of salt. He's just setting the table up for negotiations. They want Conor to fight. They need Conor to fight. They're not going to take the belt away from this guy. He's too much value for the company right now for them to try to strong arm him like that. I mean, it's not unprecedented. They took his featherweight title away after he got the lightweight title. Remember that. No, they just trying to set the table. I mean, he even said it. They're negotiating a new contract with Conor McGregor, as we speak. He said it on the same scrum. So how come
Darn.
The guy's not going to fight again if they're already negotiating a new contract with the guy? It's all on the money. It's how many zeros you're going to put beside that one or that two or that three, you know? I don't think Conor is fighting for less than $30 million a fight. So they have to work it out, you know? 10 or 15 million to show, and then how much of the pay-per-view percentage or points you're going to get. That's what they're trying to work out, man. Now, Conor is fighting again. They're not going to strip him. Now, who is he going to fight next? Who the fuck knows? That is, your guess is as good as mine. But it is all about the negotiating tactic, because they are negotiating the contract with Conor, and that is just the bottom line.
Darn that. You know what? I didn't pay attention to that. So as Dana would tell us all
Thank
the time.
Dummies.
Thank you. All right, Brian, let's go to you on this, because I know that you're obviously Irish, but I know that you may actually be neutral on this one too. McGregor, I don't think he's going to fight at UFC 220. I just don't see that happening. And as we all know, he was famously taken off the 219 card. Brian, I'm going to you. Will McGregor fight again, and should it be stripped? Because it's been over a year since he defended that belt.
One, Conor McGregor was never on the 219 card. Two, if we were to jump into a hot tub time machine and go back 5 years, we don't even know the name Conor McGregor. This young man is brilliant. He has got into this sport over the last 10 years, and he has somehow managed to make $100 million, $120 million, $130 million. He made the majority of that money by boxing a 40-year-old guy who was washed up and really didn't try to take him out until the final two rounds. Now, do you want to get in the ring with some of these killers like your Tony Fergusons of the world, or a Tyron Woodley of the world, or even a GSP for $15 to $20 million? Or do you want to keep doing these stupid publicity things that he's doing, keeping his name out in the public, and then having a guy like Oscar De La Hoya mention your name? Would you rather sit back and fight sort of a drunk, bloated 45-year-old Oscar De La Hoya for $30 to $50 million? I said earlier when they first signed this. Yeah, exactly. When they first signed the fight with Mayweather, I called into the guys, and I believe I said something to the effect of, this is a good day for Showtime Boxing. It's a good day for Conor, a good day for Mayweather. It was a horrible day for the UFC. Conor McGregor's career is winding down. He's going to hang back. He's going to take one or two, what I'm going to say, meaningless money fights. I don't see him defending that belt. Would I like to see the UFC strip him? Of course I would, but they're not going to. No one takes money and just throws it out the window. And as we talk about stripping Conor McGregor, it still stuns me that we have two middleweight champions, by the way. What are we doing? Interim middleweight champion? You know,
we got two lightweight
champions.
Yeah, we got two lightweight champions.
Whitaker, you're a very nice guy. You're a great fighter. You're not the champion. Can we have that belt back, please, and then you can fight GSP? But I'm kind of going down the wrong road there. Yeah, I think Conor McGregor will fight one more time in the cage, possibly for a big money fight. But I think his real hardcore competitive edge is over.
Have I been wrong yet?
Well, what you were saying, I think that the fight that they're waiting for is the Nate Diaz trilogy, because that is the only fight that makes sense for Conor on the cage. And how about Manny Pacquiao calling out Conor McGregor?
Exactly.
It's kind of sad in a way, but, well, this young millionaire expert mixed martial arts, Tom Vigilante taking on the Irish mob, new Batman, he's making a movie now, man. He's the new Punisher of Ireland. But, I agree with Brian. In a way, I believe that he will fight again. Like I said, I don't know who the fuck is going to fight again on the cage. My guess is Nate Diaz, just because of the money fight in MMA. And, yeah, he will take probably one more boxing fight with some aging, has-been boxer and make another probably $50 million. So I like the analysis Brian put there.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Change, you filthy animal.
All right, guys, let's move up to this. Go ahead, Bree. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had wanted to make one more comment on McGregor. I do see him. He's very bright. He's very calculated. But lately, his antics are starting to concern me, and I wonder if he's starting to go like that Elvis way where there's nobody in like the Mike Tyson way where there's nobody in his life to tell him no. And there's nobody in his life to tell him that, you know, he's getting out of control. That the jumping over the Bellator cage was odd. The showing up late for court those are some warning signs for me. So I hope he's got people in his life that say, all right, you know, we like the notorious one. We like the character, but at the end of the day, man, you gotta rein it in a little bit and make a little bit of smarter decisions. I really concerns me that he showed up at court late. You know, that's not a good idea. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, when you are 28 years old and you got $150 million in the bank, dude. If 28 with $150 million, I wouldn't even make it a smarter decision either. When you got
exactly
fuck you money. When you got fuck you money, you actually start saying fuck you to a lot of people. And that's what McGregor does have. Fuck you money.
Yeah.
You know? What is the point of having fuck you money if you cannot say fuck you?
Yeah. I mean, you guys are absolutely right, but I agree with Brian. I hope there's someone that can reel him back just a bit, guys, because this is this is probably the most charismatic fighter we've ever seen, at least in my lifetime, aside from, you know, from Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. So I hope that someone's there to reel him back in. Right, Dana?
Don't ever buy another UFC pay-per-view again.
All right, Dana. Will do.
Sorry, Dave.
All right, guys.
Sorry, Dana.
Yeah, let's get into this, guys, because I've been wanting to talk about this for weeks, but we just haven't time for at least a couple weeks, rather. But the Bellator tournament, Brian, it's here, it's there, and I'm actually really excited about it. So, Brian, I'm going to throw to you because you had some interesting stuff to say about the Bellator heavyweight tournament.
Oh, it's a heavyweight tournament, is it? Is it a heavyweight tournament because they're called? Because they live? Is it a heavyweight tournament because they labeled it a heavyweight tournament? I can go around saying that I'm king of Boston. I got news for you. I'm not king of Boston. You know, I think they got this great idea, right? They're going to take these heavyweights, these named heavyweights that we know, and they're going to put them in a tournament. And then they take a bunch of light heavyweights. They talk to, like, a middleweight and tell him to be in the backup, and they try to shove it down our throats as a heavyweight tournament. It's so foolish. You know, I don't understand that company. sometimes I'll watch some of their cards and I'll be like, man, they're getting it together. These are fantastic. And then next week I'll turn on and there's Kimbo Slice versus Data 5000. Like, what is this company doing? This is not a heavyweight tournament. I don't know what this is. You know, and why would Ryan Bader want to do this? He's a champion of a division. I would let that whole thing work itself out and then challenge the winner of that. So I think, you know, am I going to watch it? Of course I am, because I'm a fool. But at the end of the day, you know, heavyweight tournament, my ass. It's just, let's just call it a tournament to give somebody, you know, the heavyweight belt. Sorry, I get upset over these things.
Oh, I got so much to say about this heavyweight tournament, Brian. Because, you know, I'm not the biggest
fan. Go ahead, Marco.
First of all, on one side of the bracket, we get the people that never tested for anything. Ryan Bader, Rampage, Mami Trion, and Roy Nelson. On the other side, people that may or may not have used a status on Pride, and they have tested for something. Fedor Emelianenko, Frank Mir, Kim Mulwell, and Chael Sonnen. So that is your bracket. A middleweight that fought a light heavyweight and on Chael Sonnen, and then start to fight a heavyweight, give me a fucking break. And then you got Rory McDonald throwing his hat in there. Let's just call it an open weight Grand Prix. How about that? Let's call it an open weight Grand Prix if Rory McDonald is going to get into this shit. And then freaking Bellator got the freaking goal to tell Shane Carwin, the former UFC interim heavyweight champion, not to be an ultimate on this freaking tournament? What are they afraid of? That Shane Carwin is going to freaking come in there and crash everybody's skull into oblivion? Shane freaking Carwin, ready to fight, volunteering, raising his right hand, and they tell him no? What the fuck, Bellator? Never mind the fact that you got true heavyweights like Jay Congo, Bobby Lashley, and freaking this kid that the big pygmy. What is his freaking name? The guy that goes to freaking the name is escaping right now. The guy that goes and build wells in Africa. Oh, it's gonna kill me because I'm gonna remember later. Well, whatever. You got true heavyweights in Bellator, and they are not in this tournament either. It's freaking stupid, man. Now you got their quote unquote light heavyweight champion on this tournament, but he's not gonna defend for a full fucking year while he's on this tournament. Oh yeah, doesn't fucking matter because we haven't have a freaking heavyweight champion for almost 2.5 years in Bellator any damn fucking way. So those don't mean anything in Bellator. You're just freaking trinkets you can get on a freaking in your Frosty Flex freaking box. They're trinkets, they mean nothing. If they don't make you more money, you become a freaking Bellator champion. It doesn't mean that you're going to get more millions of dollars. Do away with the freaking belts. They just call this an open way Grand Prix and get it over with. Just give me free show files that I can be entertained about and forget all the damn fucking belts.
Hey, guys, I will say this, though. The belts don't mean anything in any promotion right now, let alone Bellator. Justin Wren is who you're talking about, and I wouldn't want to see him, but I agree with Mark O'Brien that I think it just should have been an open weight tournament. Either way, I'm excited, but the belts really don't mean a thing for anyone.
I disagree with you because even though you got a little bit of a chaos on the lightweight and the middleweight division on the UFC, it is very easy to recognize the number one heavyweight in the world is Stipe Miocic. It is very easy to recognize that Daniel Cormier is the light heavyweight champion. Darren Woodley, for better or for worse, is the best welterweight in the planet. Go down the line. Max Holloway, right now, is the best featherweight in the planet. Demetrius Johnson, the best flyweight. Men do mean something in the UFC. And even if you disagree with the interim championship, you still recognize Conor McGregor and Tony Ferguson as the number one and number two lightweights in the planet, and George St. Pierre and Robert Whittaker are number one and number two at middleweight right now. So they do mean something. Now, that they're not giving us the fights that are supposed to make sense is a completely different story. But at the end of the day, the UFC belt holds weight. The Bellator weight doesn't mean shit.
Let me ask you this. Why doesn't Bellator do the heavyweight championship tournament and have a four-man bracket? Why does it have to be an eight-man bracket? If you told me that you were going to have four of the heavyweights compete for the heavyweight championship belt, You know what? It adds legitimacy to the tournament, and it adds legitimacy to the heavyweight belt. Now, are you telling me that if, you know, in a four-man tournament, if Frank Mir, Roy Jones, or even Mitrione came out with that belt, that you would not recognize him as the Bellator heavyweight champion? I would, because they put the work in and they beat a couple of guys. If you're going to tell me Matt Mitrione is going to fight Chael Sonnen for the Bellator heavyweight championship of the world, then I lean more towards you, Marco, and it's a joke. But if you're going to have actual heavyweights beat actual heavyweights with a belt at the end of it, okay, to me that's legit.
You know what? If they wouldn't make it like what they did with Phil Davis, you know, do that little one-night tournament, I would have been all in on this thing. You know, four guys, like they rotate it on one night and make it happen that way, great. But spread it out through the year like they did with the Strikeforce. This is Scott Coker 101. It's too gimmicky. It doesn't keep the momentum. Remember that Daniel Cormier on Strikeforce wasn't even on the bracket. He was an alternate when he got in there and won the title, the Strikeforce Grand Prix title. They were trying to set it up for Alistair Overeem and Fedor to meet in the finals. That never happened. Because too much shit happens on a tournament like this. You go from camp to camp to camp, you get injured, and shit happens, and at the end of the day, it was an alternate that won the whole thing. That is why this thing doesn't work for me. I'm still going to watch it, you know, out of hardcore of the hardcores, but it doesn't work for me, and I won't recognize the winner as a true heavyweight champion because the gimmick doesn't work for me right now.
Tony, what's
that? I agree with you guys. Yeah, I agree with you guys, but you know what? I think they should have had a four-man. Brian's right. Four-man, get it done. You can't do it in one night any longer, guys, because it's the health just doesn't stay up, especially in the heavyweights. But I agree with you. Make it a six-month thing. Make it, heck, spread out between four cards or something. But I agree with you. Listen, let's go to this real quickly, guys, because we're running on fumes, but I want to get these two things in quickly, all right? Let's talk about the UFC contract, guys, because I think it was Brendan Schaub that said that effectively the UFC needs $300 million to basically be in the black. Their current contract, or what they perceive themselves at, $450 million, basically $150 million to bank, and no one's offering them that. No one is offering them that. So what say you? What do you guys think it comes out to? Does it come out so that they break it in pieces, part of it going to Amazon, part of it going to FS1, et cetera? What say you? Well, I'll throw to you, Marco. What say you on this?
Look, a lot of these commentators are really myopic on the general world market of the USA. A lot of people think that this television deal is the end-all deal. Remember, the USA got television deals with Global in Brazil. That is a very substantial television deal. They got television deals in Mexico. They got television deals in Europe with Sky Sports. That is like the biggest platform you can have in Europe. They got a brand new spanking television deal in China. That is why they are so into, like, we don't see that with this, why do they have these fights in fighters and blah, blah, blah. Because we're myopic. We only care about the American market. These other markets are generating huge revenues for the UFC too. Yeah, they are not getting the price that they're won, you know, because you got to start high and mid on the middle. A lot of people are projecting that this is going to be a split packet, you know. They're going to give the bulk of the content to Fox and a specialty fights to ESPN. Like, ESPN doesn't want to go all in with the UFC. They want their version of the big Fox card. Once a quarter, every 3 to 4 months, get a big UFC fight. And they can sell a package like that for $100 million to ESPN. You know, $100 million a year, $25 million a fight. They can do that. And that's what the other rumor mill is like. Spreading out there that that's what they're trying to do. And they can come to an agreement with Fox. Fox is saying 200, the UFC is saying 450. They're going to meet around the $300 million mark, man. And I think they're going to get it done because, like Luke Thomas says, 33% of Fox Sports content comes from the UFC. 33%, that is one-third of all of your sporting content. How the fuck are you going to make that up? How the fuck are you going to make that up? And if you want to even try to sniff competition with ESPN, you need that kind of comp. So by hook or by crook, they're going to meet their mark. Because, like I said before, they're going to split this content. They're going to give Fox the bulk. You know, they're going to give them probably 25 fights plus four Fox cards, and they're going to be happy. And then they're going to create another four Fox-type big Fox cards for ESPN, sell them to them. And hopefully, and that is the other rumor that they're spreading out there, they're going to reduce the amount of pay-per-views next year, so they can sell these big ticket fights with championships and stuff. So they might go away from the you know, once a month pay-per-view model, and maybe we'll get 10 pay-per-views or 8 pay-per-views next year, so they can sell those big packages to the likes of ESPN and Fox.
Brian.
I like the UFC on Fox. And I really hope that they don't sort of split it up around networks, because I even have trouble chasing the UFC down on Fox sometimes. Is it on Fox 1?
Yeah, no kidding.
Fox 2? Is it on regular Fox? You know, is it on FXX? And that's basically on one network, and I have trouble chasing it. I don't think the UFC and ESPN is a good marriage. The last thing I want is Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman talking about UFC. ESPN.
Amen.
Yeah, exactly. You know, ESPN these days, I don't, you know, other than an occasional football game, there's not a whole lot of actual sports that I watch on ESPN. You know, it's highlight shows. It's these talking head talk shows. I don't like the idea of UFC on Netflix. I do not want to see all my fights on streaming. I certainly don't want it on Twitter. And don't get me started on Twitter and, you know, POTUS and all that good stuff. I like it on Fox. I think they've done a nice job. I like the way that the commentators have settled in. It has a good look to it. I'm familiar with it. Fox needs them, I believe. And I think, Marco, you're right. Let's talk about the money, meet in the middle, and continue to grow the product on Fox. That's what I would like to see.
All right, guys, let's get into this before we leave.
Go ahead, man.
Go, Marco.
For all the people that keep screaming that the ship is sinking, They're missing the forest by looking at the trees. You know, they're too close to the thing to see the bigger picture. Like I said before, the international markets that UFC is getting into right now are generating huge revenues for them, and that is why we see all these Shanghai fights and these fights in Poland, because it makes sense for them to go out there and get television deal with these other countries.
Hey, guys, let's get out of it on this one, because I'm curious. We're here now in effectively December, right? Tomorrow's December. USADA has been with us for quite some time. I was very vocal about saying that, listen, we don't really want USADA in this fight game. And guess what? I still don't think we want USADA in this fight game. To me, it's actually hurt the cards a lot. I'm all for safety, but I think it's hurt. The business quite a bit. So I throw to you guys, Brian, I'm going to throw to you first. USADA today, and that's a play on, by the way, USA Today, shout out to Junkie Radio. But USADA today, are you still in favor of it, yes or no?
The general concept of USADA, I am. I think it's still got some kinks to work out. But nothing upsets me more is when one of these guys gets flagged, you know, a tainted supplement. They know exactly what they can take and what they can't take. There's phone numbers, there's websites, there's experts that can help them determine what they should take and what they can't take. You know, and I'll watch these fights, and when the fights are done, it's almost like when you're watching football and you see a fantastic play, you start looking at the field for a yellow flag. Is there a flag? Is there a flag? No flag. After these fight cards get done, I wait about a week, and I'm just hoping that there's not a flag thrown on the play. There's a lot of cheating going on with the drugs and the supplements. So at the end of the day, I think it's a good thing. Just continue to work with it, tweak it, keep the fighters safe, and keep the cheating out of the sport. It's too vicious of a sport for guys to be cheating. It's just not fair. You can kill someone.
Yeah, when it goes to USADA, man, it's going to be interesting when their contract comes up for renewal. Because, as you know, USADA is not a commission. USADA, the only reason they got power over the fighters is because they're a third-party, for-profit organization that is contracted by the USC to administer all these tests. So they got an interest of justifying their own existence. All that said, if USADA comes up for renewal of contract and the USC decided they want to do away with them, you know, they don't do it anymore, there will be a huge public outcry like, how dare you? You're trying to bring cheating back into the sport. You know, what is this and that? So they're married to this concept now. USADA is going to be there, and I agree with Brian. They have to tweak it. They got to make it a little bit fairer for the fighters, since there is no freaking labor union for the fighters. There was not a collective bargaining agreement to set up the policy of testing for the fighters. They just got imposed this freaking, this is what it is, and you got nothing to say about it. Any other league, NFL, NBA, NHL, the tennis association, there is an established set of guidelines and policies of when and where the testing can take place, how, and the appeal process. On this one, the fighters, they just got to hold their hands to their dick or whatever, because they got no recourse besides the one that is given by USADA. USADA ain't going nowhere, bro. Like I said, even if when they come out for contract, if the USC tries to do away with them, it's going to be too much of a public outcry for them to keep them in. But they do need to work out some kin. I agree with Ryan on that. And for better or for worse, it has made the sport a better sport, because even the heroes that we saw, we got, there were not really no heroes, man. Enter Anderson Silva, enter John Jones.
Darn. Well, I hope that's not the case, guys. Let's end on this, because we went over the Bellator tournament, but you know what we didn't go over, Marco? Who will be the champ? So I'm throwing to you, Brian. Who becomes the Bellator champ?
If Frank Mir comes in under 260 pounds, if he comes to the fight around 250, Frank Mir wins.
Well, I got Matt Mitrion, the one and only Marco. Close the show, but I'm going to throw to you. Who becomes the Bellator champ?
Justin Ron as an alternate. Come sit and win the whole thing.
All right. Brian, do you have a Twitter follow of the week, or do you have a song of the week or a television show?
Oh, you know what? I watched last year on Netflix, and it was Narcos, and it was the most riveting thing I've ever seen. So I recommend, if you have not seen Narcos on Netflix, boy, it's the best. And that's my thing, man.
Wow. So Narcos on Netflix, not to be confused with Marco on Amp Radio. For me, I'm going to give shout out to Rachel Ostovich, who's fighting on tomorrow night at the Tough Finale. So shout out to Rachel Ostovich, and of course, at Rachel Ostovich. We apologize to Misha Tate. We ran out of time. Marco, close your show.
Hey, Brian, what is your Twitter handle?
I don't have a Twitter, my friend.
Oh, so don't follow Ryan because he doesn't have a Twitter handle. Follow me at Ryan DJ Tony. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. This was Smack My Stick 2.0 this week. We're going to meet you guys. Enjoy the fast. Catch you guys next week.
Shout out to, of course, Proteus, who we missed tonight. Brian?
Yes, sir.
We're gone.
0.0.
That's a good one, Brian. All right. Enjoy the fight. See ya.